Open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 7. In verses 1 through 6 of Romans chapter 7, we learned that our position in Christ means that we have died to the authority of the law of God, and we are now under the authority of the grace of God. That means that our motivation in living righteous lives according to the Word of God is no longer a matter of merely determining right from wrong. Rather, our motivation as Christians should be the glory of God. Even if something is not in itself wrong, we must ask ourselves, am I glorifying God in this? We should do all to the glory of God. In verses 7 through 13, we learned that the law of God is holy, it is just, and it is good. We learned that the purpose of the law is to show us the utter sinfulness of sin. Now we come to verses 14 through 25 of Romans chapter 7. And in this passage, God, through the Apostle Paul, explains to us just exactly what the law is unable to do. So follow along with me as I read, beginning at verse 14. Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold as a slave to sin. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do. But I do what I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh, for the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one that does it, but it is sin that lives in me. So I discover this law. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. For in my inner self I delight in God's law, but I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I myself am serving the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. Let me just mention that that particular passage of Scripture requires some practice before getting up and reading it in front of other people. And if you were paying attention, you kind of get an idea of why. But I love this passage, the way that Paul goes back and forth. But look at verse 14 again, the very beginning of this passage. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold as a slave to sin. So the law is holy and just. Why? Because the author of the law is the holy God who is perfectly just in all that he says and does. So the law is good because it reveals God's holiness to us and it causes us to recognize our need for the Savior. If you think you're a good person who never does anything wrong, why do you need somebody to save you from anything? The law is there to show us that we need someone to save us. So the law is spiritual because it deals with the innermost part of each of us, such as coveting, like we looked at last week, as well as the outer actions, like murder, adultery, stealing, disobeying our parents, all of those things. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us, for the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, the law of God is a part of the word of God. And it's not just the New Testament that teaches that God's word and God's law deal with the inner person. We find this truth clearly presented to us in the Old Testament as well, that we're dealing with the inner person. Deuteronomy chapter 10 says, And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. So God didn't just tell the Israelites, okay, you have to obey this law outwardly. In fact, if you read the Old Testament and you get into the prophets, that's a lot of what the prophets were rebuking. God was having the prophets rebuke the people for, and that was that they were doing stuff outwardly. They were still coming to the temple. They were still bringing their offerings and their sacrifices to the temple, but they were corrupt. They were being dishonest. They were mistreating their neighbors. They were mistreating the foreigners in their land. They were being dishonest in their dealings. They were living corrupt lives, even though they were doing all of the religious stuff outwardly. And that's not what God wants. He doesn't want just an outward show while people go on mistreating each other. He told them to love him. That's a matter of the heart. That's inside. He says, love and serve with all their hearts and with all their souls. And then he tells them why. He says, it's for your good. Keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day, for your good. God didn't give the law to the Israelites because he was being mean to them or he wanted them to have a hard life. He's saying, I'm giving this to you for your good. This is for your protection. This is because I love you and I want your life to be a good life. So if you will follow these laws and these statutes, and if you will do it with your heart, and if you will love me, it will be for your good. That's all inner person stuff, and that comes from the Old Testament. You see, our nature as human beings is sinful, down to the core. Well, why? Well, we were created in the image of God. That's where we begin. That's where the Bible begins. God created Adam and Eve, and he created them in his own image, both male and female, in his own image. We are image bearers of God. But Adam and Eve disobeyed, and they brought sin into the world, and everybody since them has sinned, and you and I sin. And if you don't think you've ever sinned, see me afterwards. We'll have a conversation. By the end of the conversation, you'll realize, oh, yeah, I guess I'm not a perfect person. If for no other reason, you'll get mad at me, and there you go, see? But we are sinners. Well, what does that mean about being image bearers of God? That means that we are shattered images. Can a mirror replace itself or repair itself if it's been shattered? It cannot. It requires someone else to do that. And in fact, when a broken person tries to repair a broken mirror, it's never the same as it was before. We are broken image bearers, and yet Jesus Christ came to repair us and make us like we were never broken. But apart from Christ, we remain broken. Apart from Christ, we're incapable of doing anything that has any spiritual or eternal worth. Without Christ, we're spiritually dead. Now, are there good people in the world? Are there good things happening in the world? There are good people. You'll run into good people every day who are doing good things. But without Christ, the good things that we do in this life are just this life. The goodness that we have in ourselves and the goodness we see in other people is temporal goodness. It's just the goodness of this life. And it's the kind of goodness that we're comparing it with on a scale of good to bad, right? But apart from Christ, that has no eternal value. The only way that we can actually be good, the only way we can do good that is of eternal value, is to be in Christ, and it being Christ who is doing that through us. Like I've mentioned before, when we talk about do all to the glory of God, well, you know, you can sit down to the same meal with an unbeliever, and the two of you are eating that meal. To the unbeliever, they're just eating a meal, but to you, you can eat that meal to the glory of God. And that is the same thing with anything good that anyone does. If an unbeliever does something good, it may be good in that moment and good for someone else in that moment, but it does not have the eternal value that it has if a believer in Christ is doing it by the power of Christ in them. And then there is an eternal value to what is being done. The nature of the law is spiritual, and that's why our sin nature responds to the law the way it does. We saw that last week. Our natural response to law is rebellion. Remember, wet paint, don't touch. Speed limit, 55. Don't go over that. I'd love to ask for a raise of hands. How many of you set your cruise control at least 5 miles per hour over the speed limit? I actually have some that are willing to. We do that though, right? And we're like, well, you know, cops don't start pulling you over until you're way over, so it's okay. It's our nature. You see, law cannot transform the sin nature. It can only reveal just how sinful that nature really is. There's nothing the law can do to transform your life and make you something different. And even as believers, those of us who have been transformed by the power of Christ in us, when we try to live under a system of law, we just activate the sinful nature. We cannot eliminate that nature. There is only a reliance upon Christ that can do that. We can't do it on our own. The law cannot empower you to be holy. Let's look at verses 15 to 21 again, because I like to torture myself with reading this passage. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh, in other words, in my sinful nature. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good thing I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now, if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one that does it, but it is sin that lives in me. So I discover this law. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. Sin dwells in us. But if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is also true that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. We are told in another place in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, honor God with your body and your spirit. Now, when we get to Romans chapter 8, which, praise the Lord, we're going to get to Romans chapter 8. Paul's going to explain to us how the Spirit of God gives us the power to live in victory over sin. We need to learn that, because we're told here that the law can't do that. This has been a heavy journey through the first 7 chapters of Romans, because Paul has to lay the groundwork of our need for the Savior and our need for being transformed and made new creatures in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not just religion in some human sense. This isn't just something we do on the surface or outwardly. This is a matter of the inward person. Everything about this ought to be. God has graciously given us outward things for us that are tangible that we can grab hold of. That's what we're going to do this morning with the Lord's Supper. We're going to partake of bread and cup, because that's tangible. it's something we can put our hands on, and we can taste, and we can feel, and we can remember. And we are nourished by that. But that is a picture on the outside of the reality that's inside. Some accuse Paul of suggesting in these verses that as Christians, we have a split personality. But we do not have a split personality. This is important here. Christ has made us whole. Jump two ahead. Three ahead, something like that. Oh, no, sorry. Oh, that is right, okay. Christ has made us whole, but the practical outworking of that wholeness is dependent upon yielding to the indwelling Holy Spirit. You have been made whole. If you are in Christ by faith this morning, then you have been made whole. When God looks at you, it is based on his declaration that you are without sin. That's how amazing our salvation is that when we come to Christ in faith to receive what he is offering us is sinless perfection before Almighty God. Now, that is not our practical experience day in and day out. But that is our position in Christ. We are no longer looked upon as Joe. I'm looked upon by God the Father as Joe in Christ. Because it is Christ that is in all. And that's all that this is about is Christ. Because we still have the sin nature, then we have a choice. See, we don't have a split personality. We are whole, but we have a choice every day because we still live in this broken world and we have brokenness traveling along with us in this life. And so you've got a choice every day. Do I walk in the flesh or do I walk in the spirit? I think I've used the example before. You know, Lord, I'm walking with you today. I'm in the spirit. I am in harmony with God, and then you get out on the road and your tire blows, or somebody cuts you off, or your engine quits, and you're faced with that decision all over again, right? Am I going to approach this in the flesh or in the spirit? The only reason that you are alive in Christ, the only reason that you have spiritual understanding and spiritual power, the only reason that you are capable of having victory over sin, the only reason that you can walk in the newness of life is because the Spirit of God lives in you. Remember verse 6? If you look back at verse 6, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not the oldness of the letter. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we're sealed to the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. We're also told in Ephesians 1 that the Spirit is given to us as a guarantee of the redemption that God has ready for us. In Romans chapter 8, we're told that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? I mean, we're going to go over that when we get to Romans 8, but nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not anything up here, not anything down there, not anything over there, not anything behind me or in front of me or in or out or nothing in all of creation. Well, what am I? I'm a created being, so I can't even remove myself from God's love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We ought to just hoop and holler and do cartwheels. Well, figuratively speaking, for 98% of us in the room, every day. Every day we should just be excited about that. That is our comfort. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter. I must go away so that I can send the comforter to you. That is our comfort. Why? Because if the Holy Spirit did leave you, you would be back to being dead in your trespasses and sins. If the Holy Spirit left you, you'd be spiritually dead. But he's not going to leave you. God's word tells us that he will not leave us. He is our guarantee. You see, the new life that you have in Christ is not something that's of yourself. Your spiritual nature is the life of Christ living in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. So although you are alive in Christ by the indwelling Spirit of God, you still live in a fallen body that's not been glorified yet. Aren't we reminded of that on a daily basis? We haven't been glorified yet. So we still have sin there with us. Does that mean the body is inherently sinful? No, absolutely not. This mortal just hasn't put on immortality yet. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's redeemed all of you, but your mortal hasn't put on immortality yet. And until we're raised to be incorruptible like Christ, we have to live with the struggle. So the sin that dwells in the flesh is at war with the Spirit. So is Paul saying here that we have no power to overcome sin in our lives? Is he saying, oh my goodness, this is just a struggle that you're never going to win? No. It is not what he's saying. Paul is saying that in himself he has no power to obey God's law, even when he tries. Sin's always right there with him. No matter what he did, he still fell short when he was in himself. When you and I were in ourselves apart from Christ, this is the struggle here in Romans 7. If before you were a Christian, you were trying to be a good person, you couldn't be as much as you wanted to be. But now you're in Christ, and everything's different. So in Romans chapter 6, the question was, how can I stop sinning? Here in these verses in chapter 7, the question is, well, how can I really do anything that's ever really truly good, that has any eternal value? It's impossible to obey the law because we have a sinful nature that rebels against the law. Even if I think I've done something good, I know that sin is right there with me. I'm proud that I've done such a good job. Oh, great, now I'm guilty of pride. So the law is good, but I am by nature bad. That's the conclusion we come to, left to ourselves. The law has no power to make us good. So what does that mean? What else can the law not do? The law cannot give us freedom, and it cannot give us joy. So let's look at verses 22 to 25 again. For in my inner being, in my inner self, I delight in God's law, but I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And then we have the great statement here that's going to lead us into Romans chapter 8. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself am serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. You do have a sin nature. You've got sin that's traveling right along with you in this life that wants to keep you bound. So when we do something we know is wrong, lose our temper, fall back into bad habits, whatever it is, we tell ourselves, I won't do that again. I will pull myself up and I will do better. I'm not going to snack between meals. I'm going to say no to the chocolate cake. I'm only going to take one serving at each meal, and I'm going to exercise every day. How long does that last? Okay, there's some of you that are sitting here going, I'm disciplined. I live my whole life that way. Oh, but, you know, the normal response is, but I like my snacks. And why would I even have a chocolate cake in my house if I'm not going to eat it? And what is this crazy stuff about getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to run? Nobody's chasing me. We exert all of our willpower and all of our energy for a while, and we succeed for a while, and then when we least expect it, we fall right back into the same sin that we had determined in all of our own strength that we would never do it again. Why? Because we try to overcome it according to an attitude of law, and law can't deliver us from that sin. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56 says, the strength of sin is the law. When we try to overcome sin with a rules and regulations attitude, we only make the sin nature stronger. But when we walk in the Spirit and we think with the mind of Christ, we delight in the law of God. We can go back to the Psalms and we can read as David writes about how much he loves the law of God. And we can say, how can he possibly love something like that? And yet, if we are in Christ and we are walking in the power of the Spirit and the newness of the Spirit, we can go back and we say, yes, there is so much beauty in the Word of God. We only become exhausted and discouraged when we think we've got to do it on our own. And of course, that's what drives us to the cry of verse 24. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? We're saying, is there any deliverance? Yes, there is deliverance. Verse 25, I thank God that there is someone who can deliver me. This is Jesus Christ our Lord. He is my deliverance. He is my victory. He is the one who empowers me daily to walk in step with him. Because we are in Christ through faith, we are united to Christ. He came and he fulfilled the law perfectly. So in him, the law is satisfied on our behalf. But Jesus Christ did not come and merely die. Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead. And so we have the power of the Holy Spirit available to us so that we can be alive just like Christ is alive and walk in the newness of life. So now the final statement in this chapter can be misleading if we fail to understand it correctly. He says, so then in my mind, I myself am serving the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And the statement does not mean that we live a divided life once again. Our bodies are not being used in two different ways at the same time. We are in the midst of a struggle between the spirit and the flesh. It's going to be either one or the other that's in control of your life. We cannot walk in the spirit and in the flesh at the same time. The sin nature can never obey the law of God, but the Holy Spirit can only obey the law of God. So the secret to doing good is to walk in the Spirit of God. And it all goes back to verse 6. But now we have been released from the law, since we have died to what held us, so that we may serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the old letter of the law. So the law cannot make you a truly free person. If Romans stopped here with Romans chapter 7, and I've been saying this all along, if we stop here, we're hopeless. And the same thing is here with Romans chapter 7. If we stop with chapter 7, we're left with frustration. We're left with discouragement. But guess what? The book of Romans doesn't end with chapter 7. We get to go on to chapter 8. Chapter 7 shows us a hopeless life apart from Christ by the letter of the law. But chapter 8, now we get into the glory of the Holy Spirit overcoming and giving us victory in life and what that all means and what we have to look forward to. So, let me encourage you to stick with it and come back. So we can learn what God has for us in the remainder of this book. Lord willing, our next lesson will be in Romans chapter 8, to the praise of God's glory. Let's take some time this morning to prepare our hearts and our minds to partake of the bread and the cup. as we remember what Christ has done for us. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for even passages like this that show the struggle. We know that if we are left to ourselves without your Holy Spirit living in us, we are dead spiritually and we are torn apart. But I thank you, Father, that in Christ we have been made whole and we do have your Holy Spirit living in us, that we might be alive and able to walk with you in obedience and doing all to your glory. We thank you, Father, that all of that is possible. This life of walking with you in this newness of life is all because Jesus Christ came and gave himself as a sacrifice for sin. And I pray, Father, that you would focus our minds and our hearts on that fact as we partake of the bread and the cup this morning. Rejoicing that we have the very life of Christ in us. We are transformed for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.